spoken. Use it, anoint it. Lord, bless it for your service, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bible, if you'd open it up to 1 Kings chapter 19, I just want to share something with you for just a few minutes, because I just titled this, that one day can change everything. One day, one moment, things could be one way, and another minute they can be totally different. This is an incredible story about the prophet Elijah. And if we were to read in 1 Kings chapter 18, we see how he stood against the prophets of Baal. Now, Elijah, he stood against that culture. This is the scripture, this is the chapter where the Bible says Elijah spoke to the people of God. He says, "Why will you halt between two opinions? Either God is God or he's not. But you need to make a decision who he is. You cannot straddle the fence. You can't be one way one day and another way another day. It doesn't work like that." And he says, this is the day he threw down the challenge to the prophets of Baal that they would stand and see who God would be. He said, "You build yourself an altar, and I'll build one to the Lord, the true God of Israel. And whoever calls upon their God and their God answers by fire, he is the true and living God." And here Elijah, the Bible says, he's on his own out here. And he's standing up against a culture that is shifting. He's standing against 450 prophets of Baal who are jeering at his God, the true and living God. And here's Elijah saying to the people of God, "Listen, this is the day. This is the moment. You have to make the decision." Well, the story goes on to say that the prophets of Baal, they built their altar, they put the wood in it, they sacrificed the animal on top of it, and then they begin to call upon their God. And I love what the scripture says. Elijah, he says around noontime, he started to jeer at him, make fun of him a little bit. He says, "Maybe your God's taking a nap. Maybe he's too busy to hear from you." No, sometimes when you're dealing with the devil, you gotta go gangster on him a little bit. And he started mouthing to him. And I kind of like that sometimes. When you're going to get into a throwdown, sometimes you got to use words that intimidate your enemy a little bit. Come on. You're not as tough as you think you are. Yeah, your eyes are crooked too, and you got an ugly haircut. Whatever. I mean, I use whatever it takes. The Bible says that nothing happened. And then when Elijah began to, he built his altar. And the Bible says that they not only built it, they put the animal on it, that they brought water and poured it not only over where the fire was going to be, but all around it too. And the scripture says that when Elijah called on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that fire from heaven came down, consumed the place of the offering. And then the scripture says in the King James Version, it says, "And the fire licked up all the water around it." I don't know what that would look like, but that's interesting. On top of Mount Carmel, where I've been, where you can see in any circumference of that area, 50, 75 miles. I mean, when God wants to do something, he wants the world to see it. And then the scripture goes on to say that Elijah, he didn't stop there, but he said, "Now apprehend those 450 false prophets," took them down to the brook of Kishon, and he slew every one of them with a sword. That's the making of a good movie right there. In 1 Kings chapter 19, things change in a day. This is amazing to me. This is just amazing. The Bible says, "And Ahab," verse 1, "told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had executed all the prophets with a sword." Verse 2, "And then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, 'Let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time.'" In other words, he's putting up a wanted poster for Elijah and saying, "In 24 hours, you're dead." In verse 3, it said, "And when he saw that, he rose and he ran for his life. And he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there." One day you're a hero, the next day you're a zero. One day you're challenging the prophets of Baal and you're laying down the truth. And the next day, because a woman comes along and threatens him, he's running scared for his life. And what happened in that time frame that changed his perspective? What was he so exposed to that changed him going from being a mighty instrument in the hand of God to now running for his life? And the scripture goes on to say in verse 4, but he himself went on a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and he sat under, King James says, a broom tree. It's a juniper tree. And he prayed that he might die. And he said, it's enough. Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's. This is a prophet that in one day, something took place in his life that changed him so much that from one moment, he's serving and he's a mighty warrior for God. And the next moment, the next day, he's running and he's praying prayers like, God, take my life, kill me, I'm done, I'm washed up, I don't want anybody else to see me this way, I'm through. I don't know about you, but have you ever felt like that? I mean, listen, I'm one day, I'm strong, I'm doing things that I never thought I could do, even in the gym, and a couple days later, I find myself in an ambulance ride going to Rochester after the emergency room doctor told me I usually see the kind of CAT scan you have on an autopsy report. You talk about things changing in a day. You talk about your life moving from one moment to another in a day. You're strong one day, and the next day, you find yourself very weak. And the Bible says in James says that Elijah was a man like we are. He had a nature like we have. You know, I always liked that because the Bible says Elijah said, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. And the Bible says, and it did not. It wasn't that God told him, Elijah, tell the people it won't rain for 3.5 years. Elijah made the words come out of his mouth. He said, it won't rain for 3.5 years. And guess what? God backed his words up. But here, he starts to speak and says something that is totally contrary to who and what he is. It led me to believe and think about three little things. Number one, unanswered prayer can be a blessing at some times. Did you just hear me? I said unanswered prayer can be a blessing sometimes. Because God didn't answer him when he said, kill me. I mean, if it was, we'd be right in chapter 20 and the story would have changed significantly. But the Bible doesn't even say that God, you know, heard him and contemplated what he was saying and, you know, made some decisions, him and the angelic host, and, well, maybe Elijah just doesn't even say that he responded to it. And aren't you glad that in times of pain and in weakness, and in times when you may be facing something or you don't even know why you're feeling the way you do, and you utter words out of your mouth, aren't you glad that God doesn't just take those words and give you what you asked for? Am I the only one here that feels that way? And we can thank God's Holy Spirit for interrupting our lives in the middle of these situations. This is what the Bible says in Romans 8:28. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. He helps us when we're weak. For we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray. But the Spirit, the power of God's Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that we can't even utter. Verse 27, and then he says, and he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Do you know that God's will for Elijah at that moment was not to kill him and take him? And listen, I know some of the faith people would take issue on me, because they would say, whatever you say, you get. And I believe in our words. I believe in the power of our words. But Elijah said, Lord, kill me. And God never gave it a second thought. Aren't you glad for God just moving over some of our nonsense in our lives? And he says, and Paul goes on to say in verse 28, we know all things work together for the good to those who love God. Even when you make a foolish statement or make an idiotic decision, we know he didn't cause it, but God will take it. He'll work something good to those who are called according to his purpose. When we are praying or saying foolish things, the power of God's Holy Spirit interrupts us and helps us. And he goes on back to 1 Kings 19 in verse 5. And then it says that he lay and he slept under a juniper tree, a broom tree. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise, eat. And he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. Sounds like a great lunch to me. How about you? So when Elijah was saying, kill me, God was saying, bring him a cake. And he ate it, and he drank, and he laid down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time. He touched him, and he said, arise and eat again, because the journey ahead of you is too great. And he arose, and he ate, and he drank, and he went on the strength of that for 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And after he does all that, after God feeds him. See, the mercy of God is sometimes comes to our lives when we least expect it. He helps us. He strengthens us. He blesses us. The second thing that I wanted to show you in this is that God doesn't comfort us to make us comfortable. He comforts us to make us comforters. Did you hear that? He doesn't just fix your situation so you're fixed. He fixes it so you can help fix others. You talk about crazy prayers. I love the scripture verse in Jonah chapter 2, 1. You know the story. God had called him to go and do something, and Jonah, he refused. And the next thing, he's on a ship heading in the wrong direction, and he just says, I'm the guy, this is why the storm is here. He jumps off, a fish swallows him. And the Bible says in Jonah 2:1, Jonah prays to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. Now, everybody thinks, you should have thought of that before, this dude. You shouldn't have waited till you got in trouble to call on the name of the Lord. You shouldn't have waited till the bottom dropped out of your family to call on God. But you know what happens? That even though things weren't going right, even though he wasn't in the best spot, guess what happens? God hears him. I'm talking to somebody today. I don't know where you are in your life. There's some people that have been in this place where Jonah has been. There's some people here. You've said some things to God. God, you've said things that you wouldn't even want to repeat. But the Lord, in his mercy and his grace, he still hears us. Remember, the Bible says in Timothy, that he says, when I was faithless, God, you remained faithful. Hallelujah. I want those that are going to help with communion. I want you to come down quickly today. I want to pass out to you today the cup, the bread. And when you receive it, I want you just to hold it. And I want you to think about how God's mercy has been to you. When Garrett asked for people to come down this morning, I was feeling that in my spirit, and I was so glad he obeyed the Lord. Because when I looked up here and I saw, I just sensed the Lord just speaking to me, the needs, the hurts, the pain, the decisions, the issues, the problems, the challenges. Moms and dads that have kids that are away from God. Husbands, wives that are separated and hurting. Imminent family problems. But in the middle of all that, God is able, he's bigger, and he is available to help each one. When you receive the cup and the bread, hold it. If you've never asked Christ to come into your heart, do that. Ask him. Say, Jesus, come into me right now. changed my life. This will be the most meaningful communion that you have ever participated in. I give you glory. I give you praise. Last week at this time, during the Sunday morning, I was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the very place where it's believed that Jesus prayed the night he was betrayed. In fact, the olive trees that are in this garden, many of them are believed that they're not only 2,000 years old, but they're even as old as when David was king. Because you see, an olive tree never dies. It gets older, and sometimes the tree itself, it just begins to fall down. But out of the middle of that tree grows a brand new root. The Bible says, out of the root of Jesse shall a Savior come. And these trees that are there, when Jesus was praying, something powerful was taking place. In fact, you'll see in this short little video clip, our guide, his name was Yossi. He said something so profound, and you'll hear it in this. He said, Jesus gave his life, his physical life on Calvary. But he said, I believe that he gave his life in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he said to his Father, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Watch this.
Squeeze the black olives. The liquid is red. And then you make smooth olive oil. How you do it? After you crush the olives, you take the liquid, you put it inside a jar with a hole in the bottom with a cork. You leave it a while, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Oil is lighter than water. The oil will go up. The water, the sediments will go down. Then you take your cork out. All the dirt and the water will go out. In the minute that the first drop of oil coming out, you seal it and you have pure virgin olive oil. Now, yes. Jesus here, this is the most crucial moment of the life of Jesus. Here. He comes here. After he celebrates the Passover, he walks down through the same steps that we saw yesterday. Bible tells us that Jesus used to come whenever he wanted to pray and to be alone, he used to come to the garden. Bible tells us that. So he comes here, the disciples following him, giggling, not serious. The Bible wants to show you the contrast between the serious moment and how they are not serious. Then, in the most crucial moment, he is praying and they are sleeping. I repeat what I said yesterday, and he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He feels. Jesus feels here. Well, how you crush the olive? The name, Gethsemane, means the place where you make the olive oil, where you crush the olive. You take the olive with the heavy, heavy stone, you crush it, the olive and the pit, and the liquid comes out. The Bible tells us that Jesus was sweating blood. He felt like a crushed olive. Because when you crush the black olives, the liquid looks like blood.
Wow.
And here, he felt like heavy stone crushes. Therefore, I say, and don't take it literally, I say that here he gave his life.
Right.
He was crucified there,
yeah.
But the rest are details. Here was the will.
Yeah.
This is the point. For you, Christian, this is one of the most important places in the Holy Land. This place.
Yeah. That's what you said.
It's amazing, isn't it? Take the bread. He was bruised for our iniquities, crushed at Calvary for each and every one of us. He says, as long as you do this, you remember me. We remember that moment and what you provided for us, Lord. I pray, Lord, as we partake together today, new life, hope, love will come. Let's partake of the bread, the body of the Lord, together. His blood. It wasn't only shed at Calvary, but in the garden, he was crushed. The Bible says so great drops of blood would come from him. The weight of the world, the sin of the world, your sin, my sin, your children's sin, your parents' sin. John said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Thank you, God. If you're sick in your body today, by his stripes, you were healed. Let's partake of the cup together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just before we bring the service to a close, dismiss, just with your eyes closed, your heads bowed, just take a moment before the Lord right now. Just pray. Something that's been on your heart, you're laboring with it. There's a beautiful sense of God's presence here. It has been all day. I believe great favor will be upon you today. Hallelujah. Praise your name, God. Lord, I come into agreement for my brothers and my sisters today. Minister hope and life and strength to each one, I ask. I thank you for what you've done in our midst today, God. We don't take it lightly, but we praise you and we honor you for it. Go with your people now, God. Encouraging, I pray, in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said amen. I sure love you. If you need prayer, come on down. If a couple folks, prayer folks, would come down, stay at the altar. If you need prayer for anything else before you go today, you come. Make sure you tell somebody hello and that you love them, you care for them, okay? Okay.